Thank you, Dave, and
good morning, everyone. Lovely to see so many folk here this morning. It's a beautiful day outside, isn't it? And it's a beautiful day inside as well. And also, those who are normally in the Longcroft will know that we have some Ukrainians with us. But what you may not know is that today is their Ukrainian Easter. So very, very appropriate that we should be celebrating the baptism, which is a picture of death and resurrection, with the Ukrainian Easter. So it's wonderful the way the Lord just brings everything together to speak to us and to make known, as we've already heard, the riches of his love and grace to each one of us. Now I'm going to read something from the New Testament. It's found in the book of Romans. This was a letter written by a man called Paul. He was an apostle. That means he was sent by God. He visited different places. He established churches. And then he wrote letters after he had established churches and moved on to encourage the believers in those individual churches. And this is what he says in chapter 6 and verse 3. And what I want to just try and highlight this morning is three aspects of baptism. We will come on to that. So three aspects of baptism which he mentions here. Starting in verse 3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, joined in the likeness of his death, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, and do we really know it? But knowing this, that what is called our old man, that part of us which God wants to dissociate from, it is crucified with him so that the body of sin may be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So the three aspects of baptism I want to look at. The first is there is a union. And in fact, it's like part one and two. This is number one and two. A union with Christ, a joining together. You can think of other ways to sort of try and understand this. It's like if you can imagine cloth being immersed into dye. The dye, the color of the dye infiltrates through all the fabric, and so that the dye and the cloth, they become one. Another way of thinking of it, and I used to work in a garden nursery, is grafting of a tree, particularly of fruit trees. You have a stock fruit tree and you cut a little bit at the base of the stem, the growing trunk, you cut a little bit out, and then you take the grafted portion of the fruit tree variety that you want and you join the two together and you bind them up, and then over a process of about 3 or 4 weeks the cells grow and they merge and they become one. This is a oneness, a joining together. And when we are baptized in water, which is an outward expression of an inward reality, we are joined to something, or rather I should say that we are joined to someone. And that someone is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the first thing that we are joined to is that we are joined to his death. Listen again. As many of us are, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And you might say, well, that doesn't sound very exciting, you know, to be united with someone in their death. And you can imagine all kinds of pictures that thought, this is not something I signed up for, sorry. But this is the truth. Before we can be raised again into his resurrection and the likeness of his resurrection, we must be joined in his death. What is this death? It was the death on the cross, where Jesus died on a hill called Calvary, just outside the city of Jerusalem, just about 2,000 years ago now. What is the significance of that death all that time ago to what is happening now in May 2024? It's simply this, that death wasn't just a death that was fixed in a certain time and hour and year and place. It has an effect over the entire human race, so that whoever will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart and confess with the mouth his name, he will raise them up. He will put you together with him, and he will take you to death. What kind of death? Well, it already says in those verses that I read, it talks about the old man. What exactly is that? That is that aspect of us which is joined to something that we don't like, something that we can't get rid of, something that we try to remove but are utterly unable to do so, because it's something that we are permanently attached to from the moment that we were born. And that old man links us in with what's called the body of sin, so that we end up doing things that we don't want to do. And we end up being the kind of person that we don't want to be. And as it Paul says in the next chapter of Romans, the very good things that I want to do, I find I have no ability, no power, no authority, no, even though the desire is there, I just can't do the good things that I want to do. I can't be the kind of person that I long to be. That is the old man at work, being united to the body of sin. And Paul goes on to say that the good that I want to do, I can't. Sorry, the evil that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And the very good that I want to do, I'm not able to do. Oh, wretched man that I am, he says, who will deliver me from the body of this death? This is the unification of being joined to Christ's death. Because when he died on the cross, he did something which was not immediately apparent and was invisible to ordinary human physical eyes. He took that old man and he slayed it. He killed it. And he took it into the grave and he buried it. So that when you turn to him and express faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as both your Lord and Savior, something quite amazing and miraculous happens. You are joined with him in his death. And you find that that old man, that thing which you hate and are unable to get rid of, he has done it for you. He has taken the burden of it. He has removed it. He has killed it and he has taken it into the grave and buried it. It's finished. That's one of the things he cried on the cross. It's finished. So that your old man, that old part of you, which was joined to the body of sin has been removed. Not by anything that you can do, but by what the Lord Jesus Christ himself has done. And when we baptize people here in water, it is a picture that they go under the water, they are buried, showing that their old life is finished once and for all. That is an amazing good news. This is what God has done in Jesus Christ. He has taken this which we could not deal with ourselves. No matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we pray, no matter how much church we attend, you cannot remove it. But Jesus himself has removed it. He's taken it away and he's planted it. He's buried it. He's put it out of sight. It's gone forever. And that is a wonderful thing. Absolutely wonderful. But there is more. Because we do not leave them under the water. And those who are being baptized will be extremely glad to hear that. You'll be under the water for a second or two, no more. But we don't leave you there. Yes. We're going to bring you up again. You think, yes, thank you very much. This also is a picture that you are united in his death, but you're also united in his resurrection. He has been raised from the dead, and our dear Ukrainian friends are celebrating their Easter, which is all about Christ not being in the grave. Think of that wonderful morning when the women came and they kept saying, who's going to roll away the stone? And they were expecting to find a tomb with a body inside, and they wanted to anoint the body with spices and do certain things. And when they got there, he wasn't there. And the stone was rolled back. And they said, he's risen from the dead. And they could hardly believe it. They couldn't take it in. Some of them ran back to tell the other disciples. And they said, these are just idle tales. And so many people have that response today when they hear of the gospel. These are just idle tales. Something to make you feel good. Something to lean on. A prop to hold you up in times of difficulty. Yes, the Lord is able to help us and support us. But it is so much more than that. Because he is alive. He has risen from the dead. He has conquered sin. He has conquered death. He has conquered the grave. And he's alive forevermore. And he's coming one day. We don't know exactly when. It may be soon, it may not be, but he is definitely coming. And he's not coming as a dead crucified man. He's coming as a living resurrected Savior. And when we are baptized into his death, we are also baptized into his resurrection. So that the life that we now live is not ours, but it is Christ who lives in me. Glory be to God. Going to look at my notes just for a moment. The power of sin is taken away, nullified, literally unemployed, so that you do not need to serve it anymore. You are no longer joined to the body of sin through that old man which we inherited from our forefathers. Praise his wonderful name. We have a new inheritance. We have a new life. We are joined to someone to whom all power in heaven and in earth belongs. And if God can raise his son from the death, he can also raise you from the death of sin and everything miserable and horrible and hateful and everything that you don't want. He can raise you up and make you a new creature in Christ. One of the things I was thinking of as I was thinking of this morning, my mind went back to the days of creation when God first made the world. First day there was light. Second day there were waters on the earth, and then there were waters in the heaven, and he separated the two. I don't quite fully understand that, but that's how it was. Then on the third day, it says, let the waters part as land emerged. And what happened to the land? It was a form of resurrection as the land came out of the waters. and then it was populated, first with trees and plants, and then animals and birds. And it goes on to say in Romans chapter 6 that all the fruits of righteousness and holiness. This is a picture for us as we're joined together with Christ, first in his death, second in his resurrection. There is a new life to be had. And these are not legends or idle tales or some kind of fiction you read in a book or see on a film. This is reality. And all who believe on him know it. I said there were three aspects to this. First is death, joined to his death, so that the old life is put away and buried. The second is that new, wonderful, powerful life that he gives as he raises us up from the dead. And the third, and I'm stretching it a little bit here, I know, but what actually happens when they come out of the pool? What do they do? Well, you might say, well, they take off their wet clothes, they go somewhere and change, and they come back with fresh clothes, dry clothes. You see, baptism is not just a one-off event. Yes, in one sense it is, but it's meant to be a continuity. And this is so important for those being baptized. Yes, it's wonderful that you've made this decision, but that's not the end of it. God is not going to take you as some kind of specimen and put you in a glass case and for people to admire at, like as in a museum, and say, oh, right, that's great. He's got something for you. He's got a life for you to live, a plan for you to see and to understand. He wants to work out his purpose in your life. And just as you come out of the pool, when you take off the wet clothes and you put on something new, that's exactly what happens now. You have put on Christ. There is new life and new power in him. And God wants to do something for you. Let me read one more verse and then I'll close soon afterwards. He goes through various things in chapter 6 and we don't have time to look at them, but he comes to this in verse 22. Now, okay, after the death, after the resurrection, now that being made free from sin, you have become something. What? You have become servants to God. The literal word is slaves, and you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. You are now no longer your own. You have been bought with a price. You do not belong to yourself. You don't get baptized and come out of here and say, right, what can I do now? You know, I can do whatever I like. I can just please myself. I can go wherever I want to. I can do whatever I want to do. No. Having been made dead to sin, you have become slaves to God. He's bought you. He shed his blood. That's the currency in which he bought you. That's the price that he paid. Because he wants you to be his. Not just for this day, but every day. To the end of your life. However long or short that may be, none of us know. But he wants you to be his, to walk with him, to live with him, to follow him, to obey him, to know him, to love him, to worship him, to give yourselves unreservedly and utterly, utterly to him. That's what happens after this. You've been given a new life in which to live. Don't hide it away under a basket. Don't tuck it on the shelf not to be seen again. Walk in the full blaze of God's light and show people to whom you belong. That you now have a new master, a new Lord. I talked about slave and people think, oh, but what about my rights? You know, surely they count. Not really. But the thing is, if you remain your old master, if you remain the same master as you were before, the old master, you will end up disappointed, discouraged, and depressed. But you have a new master, and he is totally different to any other that you have ever known before. He does not come with hatred. He does not come with a stick to chastise and to beat. He comes with love and grace. He comes with mercy. Occasionally he may chasten or correct, but he does it in love. He wants you to emerge, just like that land that emerged out of the waters when the world was made. He wants you to emerge. And he wants your life to be filled. He wants you to grow in the knowledge of God. He wants you to have all the fruits of righteousness and holiness, so that you may serve him, whether it's here in England or some other part of the world, that you may bear his name wherever you go and witness to others that you are a follower and a lover of Jesus Christ. This is what we've been joined to. This is what baptism speaks about. It's just water. That's what we're doing today. But these people have made their definite confession that they want to know the Lord. They want to be closer to him. They want to know more of him in their lives. You can be joined to him in death. That wonderful death where all the old is finished. You can be joined to him in resurrection. That newness of life. A new creation. Where everything has become new. Sorry. And then you continue. How can you grow? How can you have all these fruits of righteousness? Join a church. A good church. A Bible-believing church. A church where the Lord is loved and worshipped and honoured. Find ways to serve him. To make his name known to others. And live that life. Study your Bible. Join a prayer meeting. All these things. God has so much for each one of us. He wants us to grow and emerge into it so that our lives may display all the beauties of Christ from this day forward and forevermore. We are joined to him in his death, in his resurrection, and for the rest of our lives. Glory be to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Help us, Lord, to embrace all that you are speaking, all that you are saying. Lord, that our lives may really reflect the glory and the beauty of Christ in all the riches of his grace. Lord, and for these being baptized, may this day also be significant. Not just an isolated day, but a day of a new beginning, walking with you, being filled with your Spirit, Lord, and living the life that you want each one of us to live, and seeing that old life of hatred and sin buried forever. Lord, thank you. These are not idle tales. Help us to believe, Lord, and to know what your plan is for all our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.